Antoine.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Eternal God, our Father, now we thank you for all the glory.
Oh, yeah.
The highest praise, hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
It belongs to you.
Oh,
no one else deserves it. No one else has kept us like you have. And so for that, Father, we say thank you. Speak to me and through me that your word will go forth, knowing it will accomplish its purpose, because it will never return void. We ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Again, to the triune Godhead, to these preachers, to these ministers of music, this choir, they have ministered to our soul this day. I am so glad to see Sister Deborah Payne back with us. Amen. And our own Sister Oldham, raise your hand. Amen. Working in the medical field, she's been extremely busy. Everybody that's been working in the medical field, can you just stand very briefly? Everybody, regardless of what part you're in, even if you just pick up a piece of paper in the hospital, I want to say thank you for what all you do. God bless you. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, commencing at verse 18. And here is the word of God. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard, seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because the people of all men glorified God for that which was done. Again, for the sake of emphasis, verse 20, for we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. I want to talk on this thought. I can't help it because he rubbed off on me. I can't help it because he rubbed off on me. Thank you, Ursus. Many of us in Louisiana, we have those colloquialisms. He rubbed off on me. Talking about the creek don't rise. If it's the Lord's will. But when we look at the term rub off, it is to seem to transfer to someone else, to move something or someone, to transfer your characteristics upon someone else. Peter and John, in our text, had been arrested. They had been arrested for preaching the gospel, teaching the people about Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead. They were thrown into jail because of the preaching of the gospel. But to show you how strong God's word is, even while they were in jail, 5,000 men were saved as a result of their preaching. Let me say it again. They locked them up, but they couldn't hold the word down. And that's one thing I love about God's word. You can't hold it down. God's word can reach the crack house. God's word can reach the casino. God's word can reach deep in the depths of your heart. How many can testify and say, one day his word came to me? I was wretched. I was on my way to hell with no God in my heart, no weapon in my hand. But somebody told me about this man from Nazareth named Jesus Christ. And see, for some of you, he had to reach out and get you. But for me, he had to reach way down and get me, because I was low as low can get. But I'm glad I wasn't too low that his arm couldn't reach. And he picked me up. And look, can I be honest with you? I still have some of the stains on me, but he cleansed me daily with the same hand he reached and got me. They were arrested for preaching the gospel. Mount Zion, let me tell you, if you ever hear your pastor being arrested, don't vote me out first. See what happened. Let me say it again. Don't call a meeting. Just first see what happened. Because Peter and John was arrested for doing God's will. And I've come to discover, when you decide to do God's will, Satan will always try to throw roadblocks your way. You know this, when you were on your way to do wrong, you had a freeway. No red lights held you, wasn't no traffic on the road. You had a freeway to go do what you wanted to do. But when you get ready to do right, Satan throw roadblocks all in your life. Peter, John arrested for telling people that he died, that he went in a cold grave. And on the third day morning, he got up with all power. And so they arrested them. He began to question them. Who is this man that you're preaching about? We don't want you to mention his name again. Peter said, man, you just don't know my story. Jesus could have left me fishing naked. But on the resurrection day, he said, go get my disciples and Peter. And while I had gone back to doing what I was doing, he came to the shore exactly where I was. Not only did he show up on the shore, but he cooked me some fried catfish. Sit down and have a talk with me. And he asked me three questions. Do you love me? I said, yeah, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my lamb. He said, do you love me? Yeah, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. Do you love me? He said, yeah, Lord. He said, feed my sheep again. That was him restoring me back into full fellowship. The Jesus that could have left me by myself came and rescued me on the day of his resurrection. And you gonna tell me not to say nothing about him? If it had not been for him, I'd have been dead and on my way to hell. Mount Zion, don't you dare utter your lips to tell Roger Green, don't say nothing about Jesus. But while I was yet sinning, he died for me on the cross. When you had counted me out, Jesus counted me in. And if I'm speaking of Jesus getting on your nerves, then put some cotton in your ears, because I can't help it, because he rubbed off on me. I can't help it. Tell him. So what's the first thing? When Christ is rubbed off on you, what is the first thing people notice? Look at verse 10. Be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom was crucified, whom was raised from the dead, even in him doeth this man stand here before you whole. The first thing they would notice, they would hear you and know you've been with Jesus. Look what Peter is saying. Peter and John had just met the man at the beautiful gate. They were on their way to pray. The man asked him, he says, do you have any change to spare? And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The man went in the temple praising God. And when the people in the temple saw him, they started praising God. Y'all just missed your praise cue. A man on the outside of the church came on the inside of the church and showed them what they should have been doing while they were in there. It's a sad circle of circumstance if a prostitute walked in Mount Zion and praising God, and you said you loved the Lord, you heard your cry. And when the alcoholic walk in and saying, thank you, Jesus, and you sitting there with your arm folded, I come here to tell you, I come here to praise him. Why, preacher? Because he rubbed off on me. I come here to lift up holy hands. Why, preacher? Because he rubbed off on me. I come here to declare all glory, Brother Brown, and all hallelujah belongs to him. Why, preacher? Because he rubbed off on me. Look at his words. Peter said, in verse 10, he said, be it known to everybody, be it known that this man stands here whole because of Jesus Christ. And see, what the Sanhedrin was upset about was they were getting more attention than the Sanhedrin were. The hallelujahs was leaving their presence and going where Peter and John was. And you know how some folk are. They want all the attention. They want to sing every Sunday. They want to pray every Sunday. They want to make an announcement every Sunday. But the day they can't, they get upset. Well, why are you upset? If it was about God, if what you was doing for God's glory, you don't have to pray here every Sunday. You can pray at your house. You can sing in your car. Watch this. When they heard the words of Peter, they had no doubt that he had been in association with Christ. Even verse 11 and 12, Peter said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head cornerstone. Then he went further in verse 12. He said, neither is there salvation in other, for there is none other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. Peter was pretty much echoing Psalms 107, 1 and 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That means if he's forgiven you, you ought to say so. If he strengthens you, then you ought to say so. If he woke you up this morning, you ought to say so. If he's putting food on your table, even in the midst of a pandemic, you ought to say so. Even if you got clothes on your back, regardless if they name brand or not, you ought to say so. Wait a minute, let me go further. He healed your body. You ought to say so. He picked you up. You ought to say so. He turned you around. You ought to say so. He snatched your soul from the gates of hell. You ought to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Preacher, why are you saying it? Because he rubbed off on me. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, noise is designed to get on people's nerves. Oh, y'all didn't get what I'm saying. Every time you holler out in the church, you're getting on Satan's nerves. because you remind him of what he used to do. Can somebody come along with me and just get on his nerves for about 10 seconds? Just holler out. Well, what I'm hollering for, whatever God has done for you, you ought to just give him the highest praise. Satan, I'm finna get on your nerves. Why, preacher? Because he rubbed off. He rubbed off. They hear you and know you've been with Christ. They heard the words that Peter and John were preaching. And they said, he has been. See, watch this. Rum Dearborn, let me tell you what their problem was. When Christ was crucified, they thought, we done with him. But they didn't know resurrection day was coming. And what? Look, they didn't know the Holy Spirit was coming. And the only thing the Holy Spirit was to do is to remind you of what Christ had done. And so when them in their minds thinking Christ is crucified didn't accept his resurrection, Peter said, you may not accept it, but you can look at me and see he's been resurrected. How do you know, preacher, he's resurrected? Because he rose one day in this old soul of mine. He got up in my heart. He got up in my hands. And I never did understand why my mama would say I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. It wasn't that the hands looking new. You were looking at them from different eyes now. I wish I had somebody to testify. I look at things differently now. Even while you're hating on me, I still look at you differently with love in my heart. Why? Because he rubbed off. He rubbed off on me. They heard him and knew that he had been with Jesus. But then watch verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and took knowledge of them, and they had been with Jesus. Not only would they hear you and know you've been with Jesus, but then when they see you, they'll know you've been with Jesus. When they looked at them, watch what they're saying. They are saying that these men perceive them to be unlearned and ignorant. But watch the text. Don't close your Bible. They called them, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, but then at the same time, rub and slaughter, they marveled. Y'all missed it. They are unlearned and ignorant in their eyes, but then they complimented them because Peter and John ain't been to no seminary. They ain't been to no college. The only thing they been was with Jesus. And when they marveled at them, they marveled at them by the words they spoke. Now, I want you to get this. Hear me good. At one time, Peter was silenced. When the damsel said, have you been with him? He said, no. She asked him again, have you been with him? He said, no. She said, no, no, your Galilean accent betrays you. You even talk like him. And Peter cussed her out. Now, I don't know what he said, but the Bible said he cursed her and declaring he hadn't been with her. And then Peter went out and wept bitterly when he heard the cock crow. Now, watch what Peter is saying. Now, that was pre-Pentecost. This is post-Pentecost. Between the pre and the post, there was a change in the middle. Peter said, I was silenced pre-Pentecost. But post-Pentecost, if I got to go to jail, then put the handcuffs on me. If you're going to take my life, then go ahead and take my life. But I'm going to talk about Jesus whether you like it or not. Now, you know you're doing work for the Lord when you got your haters talking about you. Y'all just missed it. They called them unlearned and ignorant, but then they marveled at them and took knowledge of them and knew they had been with Christ. Why? Because the same silence they tried to do on that Friday at Calvary is now still being said. You see, when you try to silence Christ, you're wasting your time. You may kill this brother, but there's another sister gonna holler out Christ's name. Oh, y'all ain't get what I'm saying. They thought it was over Friday. They wouldn't accept Sunday morning. So Peter is telling them, listen, I can't help but speak on what I seen and what I heard. The council tried to figure out how they could punish these men without causing the multitude of people to rise up against them. Y'all just missed it. They wanted to punish them, but they had too many people behind them. They had too many people with them. And they knew what happened when they crucified Christ. And now they're trying to be very careful on how to handle them. The proof of Christ's healing power, here it is, your praise cue, was standing right on side of them. The man that had been lame from his mother's womb was standing right on side of them. And every time they would say Jesus is a healer, they'll turn their eyes off Peter and look at that man. And Peter, in essence, is saying, if you don't believe Christ is still here and alive and well, here's my evidence. And I wonder, could you be some evidence this morning? If somebody needed to call you to court to be evidence that Christ is alive and well, would you stand with them? How you know that he's forgiven sin? Here's Roger Green. He is my evidence. How do you know he still picks people up and turns? Here's Roger Green. Here is my evidence. Is there anybody else want to get on the evidence roll and say, I am proof in the pudding. I am a miracle working. I want you to know something. The devil hates it when you speak to anyone about Jesus. It causes trembling and fear. The devil hates when you tell somebody the Lord will take care of you. The devil hates when you tell somebody just lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So they tell Peter and John, they arrested them, they lock them up, tell them to don't say nothing else. Look at verse 18. As I paraphrase verse 18, they said, from here on out, we'll let y'all go if y'all promise us that you won't say nothing else in Jesus' name. And Peter and John looked at each other and said, really? You mean to tell me that you're going to grant me liberty if I don't speak no more in Jesus' name? Watch this. In essence, this is what they were telling the council. You trying to grant us what Christ have already gave us. You might have me in shackles, but I'm still free. You might have shut the jail doors on me, but I'm still free. My mind is free to think on Christ. My heart is free to meditate on Christ. You can lock me up, but you can't lock the one inside of me up. And they start thinking, Reverend Dearborn, I see we ain't gonna shut him up. Can't do nothing to him because everybody is watching. And so watch this. Finally, he says this. In verse 20, he said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Let me tell you why I asked people in the medical field to stand. Because they had seen and some heard some things during this pandemic that we can only think about. They have seen people breathe their last breath. They have seen people being restored. We can only imagine what they're going through. Peter, in essence, was saying, you can't fathom what I've seen Jesus do. I seen him go to a man that was born blind. I seen Jesus spit on him, grab mud, wipe it in his eyes, tell him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and his eyesight was restored. He said, you don't know what I've seen. I seen him walk and tell a man to pick up your bed and walk. I seen a woman with the 12-year-old issue reach out and grab the hem of his garment, and her blood was dried up. I seen him go to Jairus' house, put his hand on the daughter, which was already dead, and say, Talitha kumi, damsel, I say unto you, arise, and she got up. I seen him take a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. I seen him show up at the grave of Lazarus late on purpose and still called Lazarus by name, and death had to let him go. I seen him hang on the cross. I went to the tomb and saw the tomb was empty. And you gonna tell me not to speak? I can't help but speak on what I've seen and what I've heard. He rubbed off on me. Not only if they heard you and seen you, but then finally, they know you've been with Jesus by the choices you make. Peter could have simply denied Christ again, but he learned from his mistakes. And it's sad when you keep making the same mistake. You keep falling in the same ditch, and then you're going to blame the ditch for being that. You keep getting bit by the same dog, and you're going to get mad at the dog because the dog bit you. A dog biting is his nature. If you get tired of the dog biting you, then stay out the yard. He said, I've learned from my mistakes. I've seen Jesus do things that no other man can do. He said, we can't help but speak on the things. In the original Greek translation of that statement, it says, we can't stop talking about the things we saw and heard Jesus do. And I wasn't there, Reverend Dearborn, over 2,000 years ago. But I believe Jesus did this by faith. But yet, in 2020, I still have seen Jesus do some stuff. Y'all ain't get what I'm saying. I wasn't there when she touched the hem of his garment. I wasn't there when he fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. I wasn't there to see him hang on Calvary. I wasn't there that first Sunday morning to see him resurrected by the power of God. I wasn't there on the Emmaus Road when the two men said, did not our heart burn within as he walked with us by? I wasn't there, but I believe it happened. But yet, in 2021, I've still seen Jesus do some stuff. Oh, preacher, I need something big. I need something big. Tell me something big he did. Y'all ready? He woke me up this morning. I think that's big enough. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way, made my way to the house of prayer. Don't even deserve to be here with my wretched self, but yet grace and mercy, I've seen him do some stuff.
You have been listening to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church broadcast with Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr., pastor. We invite you to come and experience the change at our church, located at 11th, 16th, and Day Street here in Alexandria. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, we would like to hear from you by calling the church at 318 318-1604. That's 318-448-1604. We invite you to tune in again next week at this same time for the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYTKQJO.
I'm waiting on you.